Today on CNV, a proper approach to suffering is our subject. And here's Mike McIntosh to get us underway with this thought that provides helpful perspective.
I think what happens is, as Dr. Joe Aldrich says in his book, Friendship Evangelism, Joe said that within 24 months of becoming a Christian, the average Christian man or woman does not have any friendships with people outside the church. So all of a sudden we start closing all the doors. And we don't minister. The love that we receive, we keep it inside. And it's a time right now for us to open the windows and let the Holy Spirit be a fresh breeze through our homes and our lives and our hearts. And that we would not worry about the sufferings that are not worthy to be compared with what's coming to you. So you just blast right through it in the Lord. And you see Him powerfully with His glory, revealing the future for you, so you don't stop.
And I'll stand up and shout, and I'll praise you, Lord Jesus. And I'll stand up and sing, and I'll thank you, Lord Jesus.
You've joined us for the Tuesday edition of Chapter and Verse as we're taking part in a continuing study of the Apostle Paul's letter to the Romans, led by pastor and teacher Mike McIntosh. Chapter 8, verses 18 through 30 has been our area of study, and today we'll conclude our three-part lesson, Have You Considered the Suffering? Through Christ's obedient act of dying on the cross, He experienced firsthand terrible suffering. It's through His suffering and death that we can receive strength in our times of affliction. For we have a living God who has felt our pain. Now let's turn to the 8th chapter of Romans and join Pastor Mike McIntosh for today's study.
So I said, here's who I am. Your husband's in the hospital. Here's what happened. He's still alive. I'll stay here. I'll call our church and get some women to come over, take care of your little guys. And so that took place. Well, when I got relieved at the house, 3 or 4 hours had gone by. I came back, and that young woman, the wife, was praying with my friend Don McClure to accept Jesus. And he said, you know, a nurse accepted Jesus. She accepted Jesus. So we would go back and forth, and this man was in a coma. After 3 months, Don went there and sat down by the bed, and the man came out of the coma. And he told what had happened, and he prayed with Don and accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. He was a Jewish man that owned strip clubs in Santa Ana, and his young wife was one of the girls that was a nude dancer. So out of all that suffering and all that pain, salvation started coming from so many different ways. I think what happens is, as Dr. Joe Aldrich says, the former president of Multnomah Bible College and a very close friend of Billy Graham's, in his book, Friendship Evangelism, Joe said that within 24 months of becoming a Christian, the average Christian man or woman does not have any friendships with people outside the church. So all of a sudden we start closing all the doors and we don't minister. The love that we receive, we keep it inside. And it's a time right now for us to open the windows and let the Holy Spirit be a fresh breeze through our homes and our lives and our hearts, and that we would not worry about the sufferings that are not worthy to be compared with what's coming to you. So you just blast right through it in the Lord, and you see Him powerfully with His glory revealing the future for you, so you don't stop. So I'd like you to look at those 7 words, if you would, please. The consider, sufferings, present time, not worth compared with the glory shall be revealed. Because something's coming in the future that is going to take place inside of you, and this body will be gone, and you'll have a new body, and that body will be perfect and will never die. Now, I'd mentioned to you 4 times one word was mentioned. And it's such a subtlety if you're not looking for it. And the reason I picked up on it this time, out of all the years I've read Romans, is that I'm just finished a year of school, 21 units, and I'm doing a summer class on physical science and the earth. And it's the debate between the old earth and the young earth. Are we biblically what God says in Genesis, or are we what science says that we're millions and hundreds of millions of years old? So this hit me because it was on an exam this week that we were discussing these things, and I'd like to show it to you. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing or the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know, we consider, and now we know. We know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Four times creation is mentioned just in one brief dialogue of a short letter sent to the Roman church, and zero times was the word evolution mentioned. That is so subtle. So the argument is based around the Genesis, that God created heaven and earth. He rested the seventh day. He did it literally in six 24-hour day periods. And then people go over to a day unto the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is equal to one day. And they bounce around. But this started me thinking late yesterday afternoon. I'm going to do a study on creation and how many times it's found in the Bible. And this is why the book is not wanted by secularists. Because it's not just that God created the heavens and the earth, but it is a testimony of the act of creation from Moses to David to St. Paul that is mentioned throughout the whole book. So students are not dumb. They're students. They're inquisitive. And if they were reading a book and it said creation, 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 and the teacher is at the blackboard saying monkey's uncle, monkey's uncle, monkey, 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 evolution, you know, they would say, but hold it. Why don't we hear about creation? It's a big conspiracy. Your kids and your grandkids are just not going to hear about creation. I wish God could just snap right now and your eyes would open and you'd see what's going on planet Earth. Because there are people that have sold their souls to the devil and they know what's going on and they won't tell you. For the earnest expectation of creation eagerly waits for the manifestations of the sons of God. Creation, when Adam and Eve sinned and God cursed the earth, the creation itself took the curse. This is why God's not going to let us, with NASA or without NASA, get people off this planet and infect them with the filth of sin that we have polluted this planet with. You think God would want them out on Jupiter or Mars or some other galaxy? No way. Because we have putrefaction in our streets, endorsed by federal governments around the world. And they profiteer off of it. Creation is mentioned four times, evolution zero. In verse 20, for creation was subjected to futility, not willingly. It didn't say, okay, I want weeds to grow. I want trees to lose their bark and die. I want cats to die when they get a certain age. The cats didn't say, yeah, get rid of me after you get rid of the dogs. Or something. You know, they didn't start talking and negotiating. They were all, it was all the flowers, everything was beautiful, pure. And the curse came, and now all of creation has intelligence to it. Now think of this before you go home. The Lord Jesus comes on Good Friday into Jerusalem as prophesied. And people start throwing their coats down and their capes in front of him and palm branches for the donkey to walk on. The Pharisees come to him and say, tell your disciples to quit praising you. And Jesus said, if they quit praising me, and he points at apparently some rocks, says these very rocks would cry out. And there is scientific research that rocks can absorb sound and conversation. So now we're all guilty of something because there's a rock somewhere in our past that was listening in to that phone call, right? We're in big trouble here today. So all of creation is breathing, and it's alive, and it's just waiting for you and me to get our act together that Jesus would reveal himself through us. Now, there is a false doctrine called the manifestations of the sons of God, manifestation singular of sons of God. And if you don't know it by that title, and you belong to another church, or you have an exclusive group you're a member of, it would be where we are a special group of Christians in the end days, that we are spiritual Israel, we are the spiritual church, and we are perfected, manifested sons of God. We have special gifts and anointings and callings. And this has been around for a long time, but it controls you by the leadership, with the fact that they know that you can't be perfect, but since they can't be perfect, they've got a job keeping you under control. But what the scripture says, eagerly waiting, creation itself is looking for God revealing his sons, the manifestation of his sons. For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered. So otherwise planet Earth and whatever is going on elsewhere is in bondage to corruption, entropy. Everything's slowing down. Everything's wearing out. Everything gets old, and everything dies and quits eventually. Not only that, but we also have the first fruits of the Spirit. Not only that. So now he's telling them in the 23rd verse, there's something even better than that. Just think of this for a moment. Not only that, you've considered, you've compared, you've found worth and no worth, you've seen the glory, you are the center of attention. All of creation is waiting for all the body of Christ to be ready for the return of Jesus. The creation itself is groaning. It will be delivered, though, when we are ultimately delivered from corruption and into glorious liberty of the children of God. It'll just be perfected with the new heaven and the new earth. For we know that the whole creation groans. And I was wondering about this word. There are more than one use of the word groan or groans. Groans here, of course, is a plural, and that's understandable. It groans within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of the body. But in that verse, in the 23rd verse, it is not just the 22nd verse of plural people groaning in labors like a woman in birth pangs. This word doesn't mean, the first groan comes from a word that literally means, a verb, to set beside or to set next to. Saying that our lives are set next to or in Jesus. That God has done this special thing, and we don't know it yet, we don't understand it, but by faith. So in the 23rd verse, he uses the word groan to mean the word grieve. You've all been through grief. Even we ourselves grieve within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. Have you ever said, oh, when is this all going to be over with? Or out of frustration, oh, come quickly, Lord Jesus. You know, we've all inside of ourselves, man, how much more of this can I take? And we've all had that. That's the grieving and the groaning process. For we were saved in this hope. And the hope was that we would have eternal life. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does a person still hope for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. And I'd like you to underline that word perseverance. Because perseverance is how we should be living right now. Not at this present time there for them, but at this present time here for you and me. We need to persevere. I've been bumping into old friends and people that started out on the same walk with Jesus at the very same time, and they've gone through divorces. Some of them became ministers. They've lost their ministries. Their lives didn't get better. It seemed like it was the same or worse than when we first met. Doesn't mean that I'm special on the good side and they're special on the bad side. It means that you and I are all going to suffer. We are all going to face mountains that we need to get out of our way. We're all going to have setbacks. We're all going to be betrayed by friends. We're all going to be stabbed in the back. We're all going to suffer in our health. And we're all going to suffer in seeing the injustices that take place daily with people. And we'll go through that, but perseverance is needed. Maybe that's why when just recollecting over the last years, people that have fallen by the wayside, I guess I had the same opportunity to fall away, and my flesh wanted to take the opportunity, but perseverance to stay in the Lord has helped me make it. So this is the word for you: persevere. It's not over yet. It's going to be over. I went to the dentist the other day, and I was hoping he'd give me some happy pill or something to take. He didn't. He was like, ah! You know, we have to suffer and persevere. Just persevere. Don't run. Because I'll tell you this for a fact. If you run from the testings of the Lord, and even if you sidestep them, 5 years later, you've still got to learn that lesson. So persevere. Persevere with your relationships, your family, with the government. Persevere with the things that you don't think are right. Judge not lest you be judged, but just persevere. You're going to make it. Take a deep breath, go forward, you're going to make it. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought to. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings, plural, which cannot be uttered. Oh, Lord God, I don't even know what to say. The Spirit's inside of you bringing that out, and he knows what to say. So we do not know how to pray. And for many years, I would pray, oh, Lord, I would pray that in Jesus' name, you would heal this person, and then you would, you know, and tell him what to do. Oh, Lord, here's what I need, and if you'll get it here by the 30th, I'd be very appreciative. And prayer isn't about us telling God what to do. He hits it right here. I don't know what to do. That's a pretty spiritual man. I don't know. The only thing I do know is that I don't know. And so we don't know what God's will is for your neighbor, but you'll pray God's will. We want her to be healed, but God's will may be refining something in her spirit through this sickness or illness. So don't let prayer be something that you're this hyper-spiritual person, that you are directing the orchestra and all the movements of heaven and earth by your mighty prayers. But rather, Lord, thy will be done. Your will. And I don't know your will, or I wouldn't be asking you to do something about this. So, Lord, your will be best. Give me the strength to persevere and make it through the sufferings with Jesus Christ. And I thank you, Lord, that when it finishes, it'll be the best it possibly could be. So let him lead you and direct you, not the other way around. Shall we stand and shall we pray together? Father, as we consider who we are, we recognize from Paul's dissertation that sufferings of our present time, of this life we're living right now, is not worthy to be compared with the glory that's going to be revealed in us. And yet, Lord, just as humans, suffering and discomfort and pain pushes us, and we don't like it. And yet, you don't want us to run from it. And so you ask us to persevere. So, Lord, for those that stand before you, they've had a raise in their rent, or the car is going to be repoed. They've had a financial challenge before them. They do not know how to pray. Lord, just let them groan today over their issues and be assured that you're listening and the Holy Spirit is speaking. Lord, we want to thank you that we're saved in this hope. our salvation, the day, the night that we said, I accept Jesus, we were given a hope of eternity. And so let us persevere all the way to the end of this life of ours. Let us persevere as we grieve. Lord, let us persevere as we wait upon you for the adoption. Help us persevere waiting on the redemption and that great glory that shall be revealed in us. Help us, Lord, be men and women that will not waffle, will be not be know-it-alls. We will not take things out of balance and compare the sufferings of Jesus to anything that we're going through, but at least we get to know what he went through and consider our flesh to be dead. And these are your men and these are your women that are standing before you, God. And there's several hundred of their children learning about you. And so personally, I would ask you, Father, to bless these men and women as they stand before you. Father, if it be your will, may your love just turn on like a waterfall from heaven of liquid love upon them. That they would realize that all they have to do is persevere. They just have to wait and trust. And Lord, as you mentioned creation 4 times and evolution 0 times, what hope creation gives us that you are real. And now, Lord, we look at creation in these verses, and we see that everything that you said, it is good, it is good, it is good, it is good, and then you rested. The devil has made bad, bad, bad. Dying, 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 death, death, death. So as people are inclined to be to the cloudy image of life and the half-empty image of life, may your love touch the person that is the furthest away from you, and may you whisper into their hearts your desire to spend eternity with them. You're overwhelming, Father. You're so good. To those of us that deserve no good, you're so kind. To those of us that don't always act kindly, you're so gracious, so full of mercy. We don't deserve your graciousness nor your mercy, but we humbly accept it. And you know my heart, Lord, for these people, and I'd like to just voice it. Is that you would put a fire in their souls. That you would be number one from the moment they wake up till the moment they go back to bed the same night. You would be number one in their thoughts. Number one in their images. Number one in their conversations. Number one in their relationships. Number one with other people. And number one with themselves. Put a fire so rich, so deep in our souls this week that creation will cry out to you. Flowers will show up. Things will happen. And we will have the earnest expectation with creation for the manifestation of the sons of God that you are going to reveal yourself in your people. So we pray, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Forgive us of our sins. Cleanse us of our unrighteousness. And fill us with the Holy Spirit's love and hope. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.
With that, we bring to a close our study for today. Join us again when the book of Romans will be our focus and having an earnest expectation of hope will be our topic. That's coming up next time on Chapter and Verse with Mike McIntosh. If you'd like to review this message, you can do so online when it's convenient for you. Just log on to our website at MikeMcIntosh.com. That's MikeMcIntosh.com and click on the teaching link. And then go to the sermon page for not only the complete series through Romans, but nearly the entire Bible from Pastor Mike. Again, log in at MikeMcIntosh.com. I want to remind you that Chapter and Verse is heard each weekday on this radio station thanks to the financial gifts we receive from you, our listening audience. If you've been ministered to through this outreach, please consider making a financial gift. And of course, we very much appreciate you taking a moment to pray for us here at CNV Radio. You can write to us at Chapter and Verse, Box 231150, San Diego, California 92193. That's Chapter and Verse, Post Office Box 231150, San Diego, California 92193. You can also give online securely at MikeMacintosh.com. Next time, our teacher, Mike McIntosh, will continue our look into the book of Romans, and we hope that you'll join us then. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.